Good morning. We are going to celebrate communion this morning. And we, if you are new here, we would love for you to celebrate with us. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. So, Rob, I will make this as fast as I can because I am speaking from something that Charles Spurgeon wrote. So, you know what I'm talking about. All right. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving home and I was listening to the radio. And I was listening to KMJ, Talk Radio, the Chris Daniels show, and the what they were talking about was there was some kind of a survey that went out amongst different states, and they were basically taking account of who was worshiping where. And it's the funniest part at that point was there's a lot of surveys that go out, but for some reason they don't ever come to me. You guys get those surveys? Because I don't ever get those surveys. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to vote on some of this stuff. I'd love to put in my 2 cents, but they don't ever come my way. So I just find that kind of interesting. But what it was it was for the first time in our history that they have been taking this survey. The evangelicals weren't first along the lines of who was worshiping where. And you know, there was a lot of different religious tacts that they used, but the main thing was they were trying to figure out why people either were not evangelical anymore or if they were choosing something else. And the big thing was it wasn't that they were going from Christianity to a different religion or an occult or anything like that. They were just simply choosing no longer to believe in anything. And that's what the number one that came out was undecided. So it wasn't, you know, Jehovah's Witness. It wasn't Mormons. It wasn't, you know, Islam. It wasn't any of those. The biggest one now is undecided. So, of course, the gentleman on the radio opened this up, you know, and he said, I want you guys to call in and tell me why you think this is happening. And so I'm thinking, okay. I only got 40 minutes until I get home. Let's see what these people have to say. And this is the one thing that intrigued me, were the people that were calling in that weren't non-believers. They were calling in that used to be people that belonged to the church and don't anymore. And so one guy especially, you know, kind of made my ears tingle a little bit because he said, you know, I went to the church since I was a little kid, grew up in, I can't remember which church he said, Christian church, all the way until I was 27 years old. Right, 27. And then he said, that's when I started to really dive into the Bible and start learning what the Bible actually said. Because from that point behind him, it was just church sermons and it was youth groups and it was his parents teaching him the word. Okay, he never really got into the word. And as he opened the book and started really getting into the Bible, he realized really quick, I realized really fast the hypocrisy in our church and how there are so many rules and there are so many things that you're supposed to do that he said, I just felt sick to my stomach and I stopped going. And so after that call, so many people called and echoed what this guy was saying. And so I started to pray on my way home as these people were talking, and I'm asking myself, asking the Lord, what is it? Because here's the deal. I was not a Christian young man until I was in my early 20s, and I became a Christian. So as a kid, I didn't know. I didn't know God. And I came from a family that, you know, that we would say that we were believers and we weren't going to any other church, but we just didn't go to church. And it wasn't that we weren't believers in God, but we truly didn't know God. And so as I was praying this out, I was thinking to myself, you know, these rules that these people are talking about, I don't see it here. I don't see it in our community. Like, I've only gone to church in our community. I've gone and visited churches and, you know, bigger churches and other communities and stuff, but I've never belonged to a church except for up in this community. And I don't see this rule orientation that these guys are talking about. So I started to do a little bit of research on it. And I will tell you, for those of you that are younger or those of you that have not really got into the Bible for yourself, because some of us, we just don't do it. right? But I will tell you this, don't ever read the Bible alone. And what I mean by that is you don't always have to have another human being reading the Bible with you. But when you open the Word of God and you're going to read the Bible, you should be inviting the Spirit to study with you. Because I will tell you this, any person can open the Bible and read it. That is one of the beautiful things about our country is we have freedom to do so. We can go to a store and we can buy the Bible. We can purchase the Bible online. We all have it on our phone. You can read the Bible whenever you want. But you make a choice of whether you're going to read it alone or are you going to let the Holy Spirit tell you what it means. So as I was studying this and I was researching this, I came across this teaching from Charles Spurgeon years ago. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's 12 pages long. And so I just took a couple of little snippets out of it. And I was trying to figure it out, you know, when I was studying this, where I could fit it into the communion, why we're celebrating communion today. And this says, he starts off, and this is from, he was teaching this from a pulpit. And he says, "Brethren, it should be much to our joy that we do not serve under the ceremonial law, nor live within the legal dispensation. The legal economy exhibited to the people a multitude of types and figures, and consequently it laid down many rules and rituals. And these were enacted with such solemn and terrible penalties that the people were in constant fear of offending." And I'm going to stop right there for a second. Constant fear of offending. We live in a society today, and I want to tell you this, I'm not going to act like this is a new thing. We are, our culture, especially here in America, we have always lived in a constant fear of offending. Right now, because of social media, because of where the media, the news and stuff is going, it's easier to see where people feel like they're offended. But we've always been this way. And so I was thinking about that as I was reading it, and I have been, I have the privilege of working outside of the church, and I say that, I have to say that word privilege because I have to keep reminding myself on a regular basis that it's a privilege. And I work with people, and I'm out there in the community with people just like you guys are, and I am starting to see as I'm getting older, it's like a different world to people that don't believe in God. It's a whole different, it's the way they see things. There was a movie, I'm gonna go way back, and there is a movie that was called They that came out years and years and years ago. Some of you might know what it is. And it was, I watched it, it was already older when I watched it, but I watched it because one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, his name was Rowdy Roddy Piper, starred in it. And it was an absolutely terrible movie, acting-wise. There was no good about it at all. But it was about these aliens that were taking over, right? And it was subliminal messaging. Okay, and only until he got this package in the mail and there was these glasses in it that looked like the 3D glasses now that you get the theater, and he put them on and he could see that these regular people were not regular people. They were aliens, right? And he was like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. And so as I'm looking at things, I pray that God lets me see things through his eyes and not mine. And I'm seeing how people react to the world. Right, and just their everyday, the way they live. I've been a part of something for the past couple of weeks, and I'm showing up with this group of people, and they're nice people, they're fun people, but the way that they use the Lord's name in vain makes me cringe. Like it's something, you know, when they just throw out, "Oh my God," or they throw, "Oh Jesus Christ," or they, you know, stuff like that. And these things didn't bother me before; like it wasn't something that I did, but. It didn't bother me that bad, but right now, for some reason, when I hear that, it just makes me go, oh, you just don't know, you know? And it's funny because one person I actually walked up and I had a conversation with them, and I said, hey, you know, I just wanted to kind of bring to your attention the way that you're talking about God, you know? And he goes, oh, it's all right, I don't believe in God. And I said, then why do you talk about him so much? And he looked at me like I was just weird. And he goes, what are you talking about? I don't talk about God. I said, every single time you say, oh my God, or every single time you say, oh Jesus Christ, whether you're using it in a good way or a bad way, you're acknowledging his existence. I said, you don't say, oh my Santa Claus, right? I don't believe in him, but I don't use his name in vain. Like that's not the way that it works. I said, you acknowledge Jesus' existence by saying evil things about him. I said, all of creation does. And he's like, well, I agree to disagree. And I said, oh, okay, but that's still on you, not me. Right? So constantly in fear of being offended. You know, to this world, to people that don't believe, the gospel is offensive. I'm sorry, but it is. Because the gospel challenges every single bit of the way we live our lives outside of God. And when you challenge somebody, you offend them. Which is one of the reasons why the Bible tells us to not have offendable hearts, because people are going to try to do that to us. But the gospel is offensive. If it wasn't offensive, Jesus wouldn't have been hung on a cross. So it's offensive. So, it says, offending, and found obedience irksome by some by reason of the weakness of their flesh and the unspirituality of their minds. As far as our Lord Jesus, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. But concerning the law, even Peter speaks of it as a yoke with which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. We are now brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God, a liberty which those had been in the bondage could best appreciate. Those who are still under legal restrictions feel the pressure of them when they see the liberty of others. Sitting at dinner with a Samaritan who considered himself under the law of the Pentateuch, I noticed that the worthy man refused first one dish and then another. At length he exclaimed, Moses, very hard. Evidently, feeling that the limit upon his diet involved a good deal of self-denial. Do the things that we take in and out of our hearts every day cause us self-denial? How many people, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to think about this in your own heart right now. How many of you people this morning were thinking about not taking the elements? Because something that you said or did this week. How many of us were thinking, man, you know, this is a, because I've heard it so many different times. It's in Corinthians that talks about you have to prepare your heart. And in a second, we're going to talk about that. But this, celebrating communion and baptism, are gifts that were given to us by Jesus. Those are gifts for us as symbolism in our walk, to walk for him and only him while we are here. It's not how you wash your hands. It's not how you tie your shoes. It's not how your the colors of your clothes, because these are all things that used to matter. They had rules after rules after rules. And here is the thing. I don't even have to read anymore, because here's the truth of it. Those people that were calling in the radio station, when they opened the Word of God, they opened the Word of God alone. They were by themselves. They did not invite the Holy Spirit to do so with them. Knowing is not the same thing as believing. The enemy knows the Bible. The enemy knows the Word. He challenges Jesus with the Word when Jesus was tempted for 40 days. If you do not attack the Bible with the Holy Spirit, you will miss those blessings and those precious gifts that Jesus has for you. And you will be confused, and you will think it's rule-oriented, and you will think that for some reason a God of love turns into a tyrant and makes you and treats you like a puppet. We are not celebrating communion this morning because we have to. Any person in this room can refuse it. And it's not a sin to do so. We celebrate communion this morning because it is a precious gift given to us by the Father to recognize what his Son did to pull us out of those rules and to pull us out of that bondage and to pull us out of that slavery. That's why we celebrate today. So prepare your hearts for what you are about to do. You're about to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross, so that we can stand firm with our heads held high and call the radio station and say, you know what? I read the Bible. I believe every word it says. I'm living my life for Jesus, and I don't feel like I'm in bondage. I don't feel like I'm underneath his foot. I feel like a freed soldier. Because that's how we're supposed to feel. Let's pray. Man, Father God, we just... Lord, I'll start by just thanking you for who you are, for what you've done, Lord. Father, I pray this morning because I know that you have the strength, I know you have the might and the power and the ability to pull off the goggles of this world and to see what is really happening. Father, you're on your way. And I pray this morning that we get out of your way. Because I feel it coming. I feel that what you're going to do in this place is so powerful and so mighty. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters out there that don't know you. I pray that in these next coming days and weeks, Father, that they get some type of a prick in their side, some type of a pull that tells them they may not be living this right. Father, you are so great. You are so big. And Lord, I thank you that we still live in this country, that we are free to do this morning. We're free to come into this place and worship you and to learn about you and to praise you and to accept these precious gifts that you give to us. I pray for those places around the world where people are doing this morning in secret, in fear for their lives, because it's for some crazy reason illegal to worship you. Father, bless us this morning. Bless all of your children as we try to bless you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may partake.